ushers will come and collect the cups now. And as they're doing so, AV, could I get the clicker? I forgot to get the clicker for this morning. And I do have a few slides to share, so I do want the clicker. Sorry about that. Going to be down here this morning. And thanks, Chelsea. Okay. All right. So, getting a little up close and personal today, huh? You like that, huh? All right. Okay. Who's seen the movie Wonder? Wonder. Anybody? A few of us? All right. Wonder. All right. So, Wonder is the story of Augie Pullman. Right, Augie Pullman, and he has this facial deformity. And because of his facial deformity, he doesn't go to school when he's a young child. Right? One day, his parents, he worked up the courage to finally send him to school. Of course, going to school, he's going to face many challenges. Most notably, will the fellow students accept me? Will I fit in? Will I have any friends? Will I find this sense of belonging? So he goes and to his first day of school, and he's wearing a helmet, right? He's wearing a helmet to cover up his facial deformity. But right before he enters into the school, he takes off his helmet and walks in just as he is. And his mom offers up a prayer. God, please make them be nice to him. Because Augie wants friends. He wants to fit in. He wants to belong. Now, maybe this morning you feel a little bit like Augie Pullman. Maybe this morning you feel there's something about you that doesn't quite fit in. Maybe you're too short. You're not smart enough. Not pretty enough. Maybe you have some physical problems. Maybe it's otherwise. Maybe you have some social things that are kind of awkward. And you may not feel like you have very many friends. You aren't close to anyone. Maybe you're socially awkward. You don't quite know how to relate and communicate and talk to others. And you don't have that sense of belonging that you desire. Maybe it's something spiritual or something about your past that you have done or something that you're struggling with right now or something that is about your family that's dirty. Maybe you've been a victim of abuse, physical or sexual. And you're thinking, how could anyone accept someone like me? We all long for and desire to belong. And how can we attain that sense of belonging that we all long for? If that's you this morning, turn with me to Mark chapter 3 as we continue on through the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. We'll be looking at how we can have that belonging that we all long for. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 35 of Mark chapter 3. And in verse 13, Mark tells us that Jesus went up on the mountain. This is a place of closeness to God. And called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him. So Jesus is on the mountains. He's left the sea. He's in communion with God. And he's calling a select few to be with him, to be his disciples. And they respond. And so as we today are seeking to find that sense of belonging that we all desire, let us grow in our relationship with God. Let us grow in our personal relationship with Jesus. Now, right here in Mark chapter 3, Jesus could only select 12. But today, and in the rest of the Gospels, we know that whoever desires to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, may come. Jesus is calling all of us to have a personal relationship with him. Will you respond to the call? Will you grow in your personal relationship with Jesus? If you would like to do that, simply express faith as we did in the communion just now and enter into a relationship with God through Jesus. But don't just stop there. Don't just stop at that initial faith, but continue to grow in your personal relationship with Jesus. Do you want to belong to someone? Jesus accepts you no matter what your background is, no matter what you've done in the past. He accepts you for who you are, no matter what kind of physical deformity you may have. You can grow in your personal relationship with him. It says right here that Jesus selected his disciples because he wanted to spend time with them. And I want to encourage you. I want to challenge all of us to be with Jesus, to spend time with him. Start with just 5 minutes a day of just that personal time of being in the presence of Jesus, reading his word, talking to him. Because you see, if we just say, Jesus, I want to enter into a relationship with you and then see you later until we get to heaven, you know, that would be like Augie's friends at his school who said, and he did have several friends who wanted to be his friends, said, yeah, we're going to be, you know, BFF or best friends for life or whatever that is, right? And then they don't ever talk to him after that. No, that would be ludicrous, right? Augie wants his friends to have lunch with him, play with him, do his homework with them. And so in the same way, do we want to have that belonging that we all desire? Let us all grow in our personal relationship with Jesus. It doesn't stop there. But look, if you will, at the pronouns in this passage of verses 13 through 19. What does it say? What are the pronouns? He went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. Verse 14, he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach. And then in verse 16, it talks about the 12 and it lists all their names. So, friends, do we want to attain that belonging that all of us desire. Let us grow in our personal relationship with Jesus, but let us grow in our communal relationship with Jesus. You see, as you've heard me share, for those of you who've come to the baptismal class, our relationship with God is both a personal and a corporate exercise. It's, for those of us who are musically inclined, it's both a solo and an ensemble exercise. Okay? And as we grow in our relationship with God, we want to not only grow one-on-one with Jesus, but we want to grow with Team Jesus, with Jesus's team. A friend of mine, Rob and Barb, they are just now leaving Asia, and they have written that as they've said goodbye, a lot of their friends are just now coming up and really crying and telling them how much they have meant to them. You know, these Caucasian guys hanging out with these Asians for Rob has been overseas for over 20 years. And he said this, he wrote this in his last week letter. We now recognize that all people are insecure and long for deep and intimate relationships. They may appear to be strong on the outside, but most are afraid of being vulnerable. Like Adam and Eve, we all tend to put on fig leaves and hide our true feelings. But as we share our experiences of going through trials and are open about our weaknesses, it causes others to gain confidence to respond back in kind. And so, friends, we want to encourage you to continue to participate with Focus, small group, to continue to participate with Cornerstone and Agape missional community groups. And as we are there, we share with one another and we bond with one another. And you yourself start off by just being committed to this, by being committed to show up. Just be committed to show up. And once you get there, be committed to join in with whatever the activity is that is going on in the small group that night. And then be real. Just be open and honest with who you are. And so I just praise God for what I see in our Focus small groups or discipleship groups or our missional community groups. People being open with their lives and then starting to care for one another. If a family needs some help, yeah, drop your child off at my house. I'll watch him for the morning. And as we start to care for one another, then we can start to reach those who are on the outside. And so this morning, look around you. Look around yourself and think of Friday night or Saturday night and who's not growing in their communal relationship with God. Would you this week pick up the phone and give them a call? We still do that these days, right? We still do phone calls. I mean, unless all we do is texting and messaging and all that. Yeah, pick up the phone, give them a call and say, hey, come join in growing in your communal relationship with God. Lastly, let us also grow in our missional relationship with God. Look back at this passage in verse 14. What does Jesus say? That he appointed 12 that they might be with him. So he wants to be in relationship with them, but he also has a job for them to do. He has a task for them to do. And what is it? It tells us in verse 14 that he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. So I do encourage all of our ministry leaders to make sure they're spending regular time with God. They're fellowshipping with others. As we do that, though, we then get our assignments, our job from our task from Jesus. And that is to go out and proclaim the gospel, to join with him on mission and to minister to people spiritually. Oftentimes in the Gospels, he's casting out demons. So there does seem to be a priority on ministering to people's spiritual needs. But our service, our ministry to others is holistic. In the Gospels, it's also healing. And so we're serving others. We're going out on mission. We're growing in our missional relationship with Jesus. And so, let us all start on this mission right where we're at. Let's start in our Jerusalems. So, if you're a student here this morning, let us proclaim the gospel and reach out to our fellow students. If you're in Agape, let us reach out to people in our life stage, maybe of empty nesters. If you're in Cornerstone or Unashamed, reach out to young families or young professionals. Jesus wants us to be on mission with him. And as we do so, we actually bond together as a missional community group even more. Now, I think that perhaps the times where most of us have this sense of being on mission together the most is when we're in college. And for some reason, the college students, they really band together. I did that when I was in college. I band together with my crew group, and we would go out and witness to people on campus. Some of the people we witnessed to back at, you know, Mifon Dashre, they are now deacons at Austin Chinese Church, but they weren't back then, you know. But we went out, we witnessed to people. We witnessed to people in some very difficult parts of Houston. We went to the bus station. We went to the Galleria Mall. We invited people to campus lectures on evolution versus creation. It was a great time, and we really bonded and banded together. And we had a sense of belonging because we were on mission. We were on task together. But, you know, it doesn't have to wait till you get to, you know, Longhorn Land or Giga Maggie Land or whatever, okay? Or look back on your past. We're doing that right now. We're doing that right now. And some of you, you invited your friends to the fall festival, and some students who are unchurched or non-Christian co-workers, they came. And let us keep thinking strategically. How can we go to them? Not only do we want to invite them to us, but how can we meet them on their turf? What are some creative ways that we together can reach out and be on mission together? So friends, let us grow in your personal and communal and missional relationship with Jesus. Now, as we do so, friends, we're going to face challenges. And in verses 20 through 30, we see what those challenges are. And then we're going to end up with some assurances later. But look at some of the challenges. The first challenge we find in verses 20 and 21. Read that with me. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind. So Jesus is comes down from the mountain, and he goes to his home, or maybe Peter and Andrew's home in Capernaum. But his family back in Nazareth hear about what Jesus is doing. And they're hearing that he's so busy at church, he don't even have time to eat. And they think, my son, my brother, he's gone loco, right? You guys know what that means in Spanish? Crazy, right? Fa fungla, Okay, that's how we say it in the Chinese, okay? He's gone crazy. He don't even have time to eat. We're going to go out, we're going to seize him and take him out of this church. Now, the paradox of it all is that today, if I go out, I'm losing sleep, I'm not eating because I'm more devoted to my work, or I'm so devoted to filling out those college applications or preparing for the SAT test or going to some place like San Antonio like 50 times, you know, in 1 week for some extracurricular activity. If you know what I'm talking about, you know, that's not crazy. That guy is so devoted. She is really on track to achieve. They're not crazy. But you know what? I lose sleep. I don't eat because I'm so busy on Jesus' mission. Loco. And so be prepared that as you join on Jesus' missions, that people are going to think you're crazy. Maybe even some closest people to you. What in the world would you want to be doing that for? You know, church don't pay for your bread and butter. And we need to get ready, okay? Get ready for others to call you crazy. Just be ready for that. Brace yourself for that. But they may even call you evil. They might call you evil. Look at verse 22. And the scribes who came down. So the scribes, they came down. Actually, they kind of go up. Jerusalem is south of Capernaum. But anyways, they were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebul. Now, this is another name for Satan, Beelzebul. And they say, by the prince of demons, he casts out the demons. It's because he's empowered by Satan that he can cast out demons. Well, Jesus says, your logic is flawed. It's totally off. It's foolish. And he says this next. He says, he called to him and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against that itself, that kingdom can't stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will never be able to stand. It's flawed logic. It's foolish. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he can't stand. He's coming to an end. Verse 27, no one enters a strong man's house, plunders his good, unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. If I'm going to rob a house, I got to tie up the owner first. And that's what I've been doing, casting out demons. I'm tying up the owner so then I can then go in and steal his items. But the scribes attribute what he's doing not to the Holy Spirit, but to Satan. And we see this in verse 28. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying he has an unclean spirit. The scribes were saying all this great healing, all these great exorcisms that you're doing, it's because you're not being empowered by the Holy Spirit. You're being empowered by Satan. And so for us today, for anyone who does not affirm Jesus as being from God, as being empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, that person can never have forgiveness of sins. That person cannot enter into a relationship with God. Every other sin, whether it's stealing, murder, lying, greed, all these sins can be forgiven. The only thing that can't be forgiven is if you don't believe in Jesus, that he is the Holy One of God, that he is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so, friends, as you go out and you are engaged in growing your personal, communal, and missional relationship with Jesus, be prepared that people are going to think you're crazy. Get ready for people to call you crazy. get ready for people to even call you evil. Evil. Can you believe that? We have friends who are being expelled. They're being called criminal from countries all around the world because they're engaging in the will of God and proclaiming His kingdom, proclaiming the gospel. They're being labeled by governments as criminal. Criminal. And they're getting kicked out. Not only overseas, but geometry, math teacher at Taylor High School one Christmas asked her students how she could pray for them. And she shared the gospel with them in class. And she said, I hope you can all believe in Jesus. And she did all this knowing that people might call her a criminal and say, you can't do, you're breaking the law. You're out as a teacher. She said, okay, you kick me out. You kick me out. And so I know we have a lot of laws. And you just have to ask God, what is obeying God? What is obeying men? But be prepared. Get ready that people may call you evil. Well, we need a little assurance. And so Mark gives us that final assurance in verses 31 to 35. Read that with me. Verse 31. His mother and his brothers came. So they came from Jerusalem. They came to, they're trying to come out and rescue him, rescue their crazy son, their crazy brother. And look at the staging, standing outside. And look at this word. They sent to him and called him. And a crowd was, look at the staging. A crowd was sitting around him. And they said to him, your mother, your brother are outside seeking you. He answered them, who's my mom? Who's my brother? And look at the staging, at those who are around him, he said, here's my mother, my brother, my sister, whoever does the will of God, that is my mother, my brother, my sister. And so, friends, as you grow missional, personal, communal relationship with God, people are going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're evil. But gain assurance that as you grow and as you join Jesus on mission, that you will belong to the family of God. You will belong to the family of God. Now, Jesus here is putting a priority on the spiritual family over his earthly family. And I hope, I genuinely, sincerely hope that you have good families. Most of us in here are kind of church kids. We're kind of church family. We're church parents. Okay? And I genuinely hope that you are praying together, encouraging one another, that your home is a place where you can be accepted, where you can be affirmed, where you have good role models, and that you have a sense of belonging so that you don't have to go out and join the gangs, right? We don't want you because you don't find that at home and run around with the wrong crowd. So I genuinely hope that that's true in your home. However, there are times where the earthly family and the spiritual family will clash. And it's at those times that Jesus is saying, hey, look, it's not your family's will. It's not your own personal will, but it's my will. It's the will of God. And by the way, back in verse 14, where it says those whom he himself wanted, that's the same word as the will in verse 35. And if you notice here in verse 31, it's his family who's doing the sending and calling. But in verses 13 through 15, who's doing the sending and the calling? It's Jesus. Those same words are being used. Call, sent. And so what's Mark saying? God calls the shots. He does the sending. He does the calling. Not your own personal will, not your family's will, but your heavenly Father and my will. So friends, how can we all have that belonging that we desire. Grow in your personal, communal, and missional relationship with Jesus. Get ready. As you're doing so, though, get ready for people to label you as crazy or evil. But gain assurance that you belong to the family of Jesus. Now, this last summer, we had the privilege of visiting my friends, Kelly and Jeff, actually more so Vicky's friends, in Boston. And Jeff and Kelly have been faithful prayer partners and financial supporters to us and to our ministry. They prayed for us regularly for 15 years. For 15 years, every month, they contributed to our ministry financially. And we praise God. We had the opportunity to visit them in Boston. Now, some of you, we'll have to cut this part of the tape later if we can't cut it right now. But if we can cut it, let's cut it. Now, some of you know that I've had some problems in my own family of origin, that I've heard words such as, you, because of what I represent and what I do and what I stand for, I've heard words such as, you are never welcome in my house again, from family members. Well, you know, we went to visit Jeff and Kelly this summer. You know what they told me? We're not going to be at home. We're just going to leave the door unlocked. Just walk into our house and make yourself at home. And I've had people, partners in the ministry doing the will of God, who've told me things like, and you can stay in our house for as long as you want. So, praise God. Praise God that although people may reject me, even from my own family, I belong to the family of God. I belong to the family of God. But you know what? Don't have to go to Boston to find the family of God. It's right here. It's right here. And I'm sorry I don't have a more updated picture. But whoever does the will of God, that's my brother. So, Atkem, you're my sister. Eddie, Ed, you're my brother. Jamie, I could go on. HD, Boone, Carl and Emily, Harry, where are you, Harry? Kevin, you know, we're in a discipleship group. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, my sister, my mother. Grow in your personal, communal, missional relationship with Jesus. Expect that there will be opposition, but know that you belong to the family of God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we belong to you, that you never reject us, that we not only belong to you, but we belong to your family. Help us, Lord, to grow in our relationship with you personally, personally,